Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are really going to have a very special day today, and I'm so glad you're able to join us, because my guest is going to be sharing some insights and information with us regarding how we can work with our own wellness. My guest today is John Sherman, and I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
May I call you John?
Absolutely.
John, I was really impressed with the material you sent me, and we're going to be talking about acupressure, and actually we're going to be mentioning two books, one, Under Pressure, which won an award for the Writer's Notes magazine, and then your other book, Do-It-Yourself Natural Health, won a DIY Book Festival award, and you really have a passion for this. I'd like my audience to know that you've been a practicing therapist for over 33 years. You are the former instructor and assistant professor of physical disabilities at Texas Woman's University and San Jose State University. You were born and raised in Boston. You now live in Monterey, California. As a person that has been very much involved in alternative therapy, what was it that originally you started out to do that caused you to evolve into this alternative therapy of acupressure?
One of my basic practices or development of training had been in what we call the medical model, which is you see a problem, you address the problem, and you treat the problem. We generally tended to overlook the patient and the patient's needs. Now, in my profession as a therapist, we have to encompass a little bit more than just seeing a particular problem with the patient. We look at the patient themselves. But one of the concerns that I started to realize around 20 years ago is that the physician began to spend less time with the patient. The nurses spent less time. We started to follow more of a business model than a concern for the medical care of the patient. And all of a sudden we found that we were missing some of the necessary things, such as, you know, the patient's lifestyle, their likes and dislikes, or their abilities or capabilities for taking care of themselves or functioning in the community. And then it became almost a world of where we would just, you know, find the physician prescribing a medication and maybe not even seeing the patient more than once a month. After a while, we began to see treating a symptom of the patient, and then we'd see a side effect. Okay, treat that side effect with another medication. Oh, there's another side effect. Treat that with another medication. All of a sudden, we would see patients with a whole laundry list of medications, and we would start to see behavior changes, functional changes in therapy, and I thought, well, there's a problem here. We really have to take a close look at why, you know, we are switching now into having patients being so overly prescribed with medications, or that even as of the past few years, how many patients are just relying upon a medication rather than therapies that have worked for hundreds or even thousands of years. This is where my interest began to develop, and I realized there are so many other industrialized countries around the world that use alternative therapies except us. And this is not our primary mode of health care, and yet many of the countries that are very progressive, very industrialized, very contemporary, even use alternative therapies as their primary care service. So this is where I thought maybe we can make some advances in this country by looking at some of what has worked in those countries and maybe bring the same ideas into helping people take more responsibility for their own health and wellness.
I receive materials that are, to me, very eye-opening by physicians, not unlike yourself, who has been very, you know, very much involved with people in trying to help them become well and maintain wellness. And I'm hearing from many of them their own frustration because they don't feel that they're able to do what they want to do professionally to the degree they'd like. So it's causing them to step outside of the medical box, so to speak. And I think it is, in one respect, liberating. In another way, it's a little scary because of the establishment as it is. You make a comment in your book that well over 50% of Americans are on some kind of a medication. And that's pretty scary, especially when you also present the information that in the United States, we are considered to be low man on the totem pole when it comes to good health care. So that is complementary with what you've just been expressing, but at the same time, anyone that is aware of that becomes rather unnerved. I was talking with someone today that said that the more that they are exploring and the more that they are reading and educating themselves regarding maintaining wellness and various medications, the more frightened they're becoming and more apprehensive of becoming involved with a physician because of their experiences. And to me, that's sort of sad because we don't want to go from one extreme to another. And that's where your material, I think, can be very, very supportive in a very good way. But how would you address the situation that we are facing where we have healthcare costs that are going through the ceiling and people do need to become more responsible for their own wellness? What would you address to that? What would you say to that to our listeners?
I would first say I'm not anti-prescription or anti-medication. I think there is a very excellent place within our medical care and our health and wellness care system to have these particular products. What I do have some concerns about are the shift of how these are being addressed. For example, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, you would probably see a pharmaceutical company that would be talking to a physician in order to market, say, a new medication that had been approved. But they realized around that time that it was much easier to market that particular product to the general population to have them go and talk with their physician. So if, for example, you're watching TV or you're reading a contemporary magazine with an ad in it, you go to your doctor and say, gee, I have restless leg syndrome. How about Equip for my restless leg? Oh, I'm having arthritis. Can I get a prescription for Celebrex? Oh, gee, I'm having another particular medical problem. Can I get some of this? Maybe even a man might go say, gee, I'm having problems with my prostate. Can I have some Avodart? And most of the prescriptions would be written on that basis because a physician would say, we don't have 20 minutes to sit down and talk with you. Let's try this prescription and then let's see how it works. If you have any ill effects from it, give me a call in about 2 weeks. So I think this is the mode that I think I'm more concerned with. But secondly is that I think we've become frustrated because we don't know who to turn to in order to get help. We've talked with our executive branch, we've talked with congressmen, we've talked with senators, we have talked with even people on a more local level with governors and with mayors and so forth, and trying to say, what can we do to have our system changed so we feel a little more empowered to take care of ourselves? And one of the problems we have is that these people are so caught up in this treadmill of having enormous funds and monies maybe pushed their direction by special interest groups that they really don't have enough power to say, gee, let's change this whole system. So I realized that this is a grassroots level, really to the basic, where I say each person can empower themselves by learning several different techniques, doesn't matter which ones they are, in order to make their lives a little simpler and a little less congested with all, say, the medication and the pharmaceutical bombarding of information, which really isn't helpful to them. It's just more confusing, but it also helps to empower each person to say, gee, I can try something else besides this particular medication. Not only can I save a few dollars, but I'm not going to feel the side effects that may be coming along with, say, taking a particular over-the-counter or prescription medication.
I think we are evolving into a better understanding of individual chemistry. And I've been saying for years that I think one of the biggest strides we're going to make in the 21st century is to be able to evaluate an individual's need, because all of us respond differently. And let's face it, when you're using herbs, when you're using anything that is considered natural, it too can, it obviously has results. And so we really do need to take the time to educate ourselves. You bring out a lot of good things. I mean, I'm thinking about here, I've got in front of me, you say inhaling eucalyptus can help breathing and reduce feelings of stuffiness. I know people that have gotten these summer colds, and how you can inhale lavender. It can provide a calming effect and reduce tension and stress. 8-ounce cup of ginger tea can help you rid nausea, indigestion, and cramps. You've got a lot of wonderful things in here, including 7 pressure points for relief for headaches, and you talk about aromatherapy, and this is in your book, Do-It-Yourself Natural Health. Now, how has this thinking influenced your life on a personal level? What difference has it made for you? You're someone that interacts with physicians and with various people and various professional positionings, but as an individual, what difference has this made for you?
On a very basic, fundamental level, I think it's been very rewarding, and it's also been very frustrating. For example, I just conducted what I call Natural Health for Life seminar here in Monterey. We had a nice turnout of people, but the people who came to the seminar were those who already used acupressure and used aromatherapy and even used some herbs, bless St. John's wort. They took their omega-3s, which helped to boost their immune system. I thought, I think this is wonderful that, you came here today, but you're not the audience I should be talking with. You're already, into this, into a natural health process where you feel better naturally and you're saving not only money but time and expenses. You actually have taken the effort and learned the knowledge to help develop one of your own health programs, and that's what I get more concerned about, is saying that each one of us is different. I talk about homeostasis, where all of us have a different fingerprint. We also have a different level of homeostasis, what works for us and what doesn't. It doesn't, just because a plan works for us doesn't necessarily mean it works for the person next to you, whether it's your whether it's a family member or whether it's a neighbor or even somebody who's just a casual acquaintance. But I think for me it's been a rewarding situation, but I think the people who I'd like to really address are those that don't have an understanding or concept of this. And unfortunately, there are a group of them that are saying, you know what, I am so hooked into what my doctor has to say to me or what the TV has to say to me or what I read in the magazine that I don't know if I can change. I don't know if I can even start to think along a different direction. So I'll just stay on the same path where I am.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, in your book, Do-It-Yourself Natural Health, not only do you talk about the things I've mentioned, but you also talk about the 10 primary pressure points. And you have pictures in your book that talk about pressure points for indigestion, joint pain, low blood pressure, memory, migraines, sciatica. I mean, there's just so many different illustrations that you have in the book. How did you discover these specific 10 pressure points?
And I had to learn, to sort of expand myself out of what I consider my traditional direction of thinking and start looking at some alternatives. And when I began to read about other countries and then what they've been practicing, I realized that there's actually very little that's new that I'm presenting to anybody. When you go back and think about ginger and you think, gee, my grandmother used to make ginger tea to help settle my stomach. Oh, I have eucalyptus. Well, that's what they used to use in the vaporizer when I was a child and had a stuffy nose. My brother and I would sit there and be coughing. This would help to calm and soothe our bronchial passages. Then I began to realize, wait a minute, these are the things that we've gotten away from, which are natural and very effective. But what I began to realize is that one of the core or one of the basic natural health or healing practices was in acupressure. Now, that's also on the same vein as acupuncture, but that's done with needles and should be done, conducted by a professional. But acupressure is actually done with the fingertips or the thumb, and it pushes on the same pressure points. The Chinese realized that this was a very effective way of helping to alleviate pain or discomfort almost 5,000 years ago. The Japanese began to refine it around 3,000 years ago, and there are, as I say, most of the countries around, of the 25, there are 23 of the very most highly sophisticated and industrialized countries that continue to use acupressure and acupuncture as part of a main delivery of their health care. So I began to realize that there are some very typical and frequently used pressure points, and after checking with some of the masters and taking several courses on my own, which was just basically done in a little community setting, I began to realize that there are basically 10, maybe a dozen pressure points which are frequently used over and over again. And I thought, well, why are they? And they said, well, what the pressure points do is when you push or press upon one of them, and this has to be done with some delicacy or with some sophistication so you don't press too hard, is that it basically releases the endorphins and the enkephalins, which are the nature's way of, you know, pain killers or pain reducers in the body. So by doing the activating those pressure points, it also happened to activate our cerebral cortex and affect the limbic system, which would then help the body to return to a state of what we call normalcy, or what I would call the level of homeostasis.
You have another book here called Under Pressure, and these two are a very good pair, and this one is all about pressure point relief. And this is basically for beginners, I would say. You've just made it very clear, very, very straightforward, and you say some of the basic rules for pressure point is breathing from your diaphragm, inhaling through your nose, exhale from your mouth. Don't perform acupressure if you've taken pain medication. Why is that the case?
When I had actually began, you know, teaching or learning some breathing techniques, I began to realize that the most effective element of life is basically having the effect of O2, CO2 exchange. I was working with a terminally ill cancer patient about a year and a half ago, and he had lung cancer, and he still wanted to get up and walk around, but as he would walk, he then became short of breath, and he'd sit down, and he'd start to hack and cough, was going through an enormous amount of discomfort. So I taught him this technique. I said, now let's look at this technique of breathing in and exhaling, inhaling, exhaling, and then pace yourself accordingly. If you start to become short of breath, slow your walking down. If you think you're becoming more energized and you can speed up a little bit, I said, but do not change your rate of breathing, which is a little bit contraindicated to what we're usually taught. Oh, if you run faster, you have to breathe harder. In his case, it was basically keeping a steady breathing pace so that he could then adjust his rate, whether he's walking up a hill or down the hill or just around the block. He could then learn how to breathe effectively, not become so fatigued, and also get his daily exercise in, even though he was, like I said, in end stages of cancer. But I think as far as looking at basics for, you know, learning the techniques of some natural therapies, I wanted the first book, which was Under Pressure, to be very fundamental. In other words, anybody could pick it up and go, wow, I like this. This is easy to understand. I can read this. I can follow the instructions. And after going through several drafts, I finally felt that I had a book that people could just pick up and go, you know what? I don't feel intimidated by this book. This is not a big book with big words. It's a very simple, straightforward, easy to follow, so I can start to use some of these techniques almost within an hour or two.
The other items you mentioned is do not drink alcoholic beverages before self-treatment, stop self-treatment if you experience pain, don't treat areas that are injured or have open cuts, sunburns, infections, or skin disorders, and for acute symptoms, you can apply pressure point treatment for up to 3 times daily. And you apply pressure to a pressure point for acupressure point for up to 1 minute using a massaging motion. And you say some of the treatments will bring instant relief. However, those conditions that might be chronic might take days or even weeks until the benefits are noticeable. So you have to be patient. And, of course, pressure points can vary in all of us. And you need to locate each one of them and practice until you find them without looking. How do you know when you found a correct pressure point for yourself?
Well, actually, I think that many of us, Donna, have already known where the pressure points are. If we have a headache, we oftentimes rub the back of our necks, and most of us have learned that if we have pain in our hands, we tend to rub that web of the hand where there's a very powerful pressure point. If our back hurts, you know, we start rubbing the lower part of the back, and those are actually three of the pressure points right there of the 10 that I point out, which actually brings some quick relief. There are two types of pressure points. One of them is a local pressure point where you're actually pushing at that particular location of the body in order to bring some comfort from your pain or your little ailment. But the other ones are called trigger points, and that's the one where you can actually press on one area in order to help relieve or lower the discomfort in another part of the body. But I think a lot of us have learned almost instinctively that we need to rub a particular area or part of our body. What the book basically just shows people is this is basically, you know, almost to within, say, an eighth of an inch where this pressure point is. It also gives you some instructions as to how hard to press and go through the progression of light to moderate or to a heavy pressure in order to activate that particular pressure point.
You have excellent illustrations in your book. And, again, that's the two of them. The one which is all about do-it-yourself natural health, and the other one is under pressure, and they are very good companions to each other. Talk to us about motion sickness and nausea. And the reason I bring it up, I was talking with a woman last night who gets vertigo very severely, especially if she is under extreme stress. It's like after a while things start catching up with her, and her ears bother her, and then she'll get this dizziness that totally incapacitates her. And I was looking at your book this morning, after having talked with her last night, and here you've got the pressure points for motion sickness and nausea, which often accompanies motion sickness, just because you feel like everything's turning in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you recommend someone to do for that?
I think basically if they understand that vertigo oftentimes comes from several different areas. It can come from the middle ear, which may be infected or may be under pressure, but the pressure of the inner ear or the middle ear can actually cause some equilibrium. And, of course, our visual aspect is another sensory input that we also begin to understand or look at what's going around us. But as we start to think about the cerebellar area that can be affecting our balance or coordination, we tie those three together plus the proprioception, and that's actually the body understanding, you know, what position it is, whether your arms behind you or your hands on top of your head without maybe touching. Putting all those four components together, if they are kilted or they are upset or they are imbalanced, for example, on motion sickness, which basically comes from an erratic moving where the middle ear and the hair follicles within the cochlea are being disturbed, where they're moving in an unnatural position due to change of direction, then that's going to cause some disturbance with our balance and coordination and lead toward sometimes nausea or an upset stomach. What I like basically about not only the pressure points, but also even some of the basic herbs, and of course one of the very common ones is ginger root, which has been used to help settle stomachs for nausea. You have peppermint tea, you have cinnamon, and there are a number of them. What they basically do, again, is get rid of the discomfort, but also bring the body function back to a level of normalcy. So whatever is normal for us, that's what the pressure points and even the aromatherapy and some of the over-counter or the basic herbs that I just mentioned help to bring the body back to a level which helps it to function normally again. And that's all it is. It's anytime you experience anything of nausea, discomfort, any kind of ingestion of food like alcohol, which happens to be a depressant, or we happen to drink, say, too much espresso coffee, which is a stimulant, the body is going to react accordingly because it says this is not a natural situation. What we're trying to do basically is return the body back to that normal level of function for health and wellness. And then to me, the most basic and the easiest way to do this is to learning some of the fundamental therapies that you can take care of, and you can have charge of yourself. You know, it doesn't cost a lot to go up and buy a piece of ginger root, slice off an eighth of an inch, and then just chew it and ingest it, as much as it is just to do, drink a cup of peppermint tea or cinnamon tea, whatever happens to work well with you. And you like, that helps to reduce some of the nausea and also some of the motion sickness, too.
you have various symbols in the book related under pressure. You have a symbol of a book, also of a target that has been, it's got an arrow in the bullseye, and then you've got a light. And you say there's key points that you need to look for whenever you see that symbol. Also, if you see a glowing light, it means there's interesting and useful information with some trivia as well. I think being patient is one of the most difficult things anybody can ever do when it comes to dealing with certain issues because it's not comfortable. Now, headaches and migraines you address, and they can be triggered by all kinds of things, anything from low blood sugar to extreme stress, you know, certain kinds of work that you might be doing where the muscles get all cramped up. What would you recommend for someone that has a headache that comes on?
When I do a presentation, one of the statements I make about headaches is that 80% of our headaches are stress-related, and that can be either staring at a computer screen for too long, it can be holding the neck in a static position for too long a period, or it can be just the stress or the tension of being under time constraints or even self-imposed of things that you have to do, whether they're very necessary or not. But that's all stress-related. The other 20% are usually toxic-related, where you've inhaled paint fumes or toxins or maybe fumes from petroleum products that are going to make you feel very uncomfortable. But the stress-related ones are basically the ones that I refer back to as massaging several points on the neck, also using the pressure points on the arm and the web of the hand and also at the elbow to help relax. I also like to use lavender as being an excellent aromatherapy to help reduce stress, of course, going back to some natural breathing, where the whole thing starts, to help to calm and to sort of just equalize out our nervous system. Basically finding some very simple things that help to reduce that level of stress. It can be nothing more than maybe just getting even the washcloth and rinsing it and then either warm or cool and just wiping your face, wiping your arms and your wrist to help get the body back into a good normal state again. There are just a half a dozen things like that that can really help somebody to just feel better almost instantly.
You have a technique in here that I thought was quite interesting, rejuvenating tired hands and people that work on computers all the time. This is something that is really marvelous because your illustrations in your book show how to work the thumb. It's a type of massage. You massage each and every finger. You massage the palms of the hands, backs of the hands, and even the wrist. This would just be great for someone that has to do a lot of hand work, whether it would be working on a computer or anything else. It really is going to make those hands feel a lot better. So you have some wonderful, wonderful tips. Now, I know we're almost out of time, John, and your two books are Do-It-Yourself Natural Health and also Under Pressure. You've won awards for both of your books. What are your websites that people can go to find out more information about you, the services you offer, et cetera?
Okay. The website is www.diynaturalhealth.net. And if they want, they can go into their browser. As soon as they go online, they will see a search block. They can type in Do-It-Yourself Natural Health, and then just click on search, and that'll take them automatically to my website because I'm the number one ranked as far as Google and Yahoo go. That's the easiest way to get to the website, or if they want to email me, they can use info@diynaturalhealth.net also. And so just remember the DIY Natural Health, and they can add on the .net either to go to the website or just put an info@, and then they can email me, and I'll be happy to chat with them. And I have absolutely no pretenses. There is my phone number on the website as well as my name and address, and be happy to chat with somebody or just share some ideas. And hopefully I can be supportive to people who want to try some different techniques for better health and wellness.
Yes, and also with your one book that you have, Do It Yourself Natural Health, you have a little pocket book edition that really makes it a pocket record.
Yes.
Very nice.
And it's very difficult to yes.
Go ahead, Don.
Oh, it's very difficult to remember 240 pages of information, so I put it all in a little pocketbook, and I have friends who actually pack that in their suitcase, and they take it with them overseas or even across the country, because oftentimes when they land and they have a malady or an ailment, you know, a drugstore is not available mm-hmm. or they don't know where to go, but the pocketbook is there with all the information.
Dr. Sherman, Dr. John Sherman, has been my guest today, Under Pressure and Do-It-Yourself Natural Health, both books that are very good reading and just something that you can use for yourself to encourage wellness. Doctor, thank you very much for being with us today, and we're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. He's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I want to repeat Dr. Sherman's information for his websites, should you not have gotten all of the information when you were listening to him. It's doitsyourselfnaturalhealth.com, also diynaturalhealth.net, and then info, I-N-F-O, at diynaturalhealth.net. So you'll be able to find him. He's, as he said, number one on Google. Well, this is Donna Sebo, and our telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do that. Our telephone numbers here in the U.S. are 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227, or for Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, don't forget, it's coming up real fast. Yes, what is that? It's the event of the year that I just love to be a part of. It's the Washington State Renaissance Fantasy Fair, the first 3 weekends in August. Can you believe it? It's just around the corner. The hours for this event are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and it's being held on the acreage of the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. And though it is sort of rainy right now here in the Pacific Northwest, believe me, it won't be when the Renaissance Fair comes around. And it's just a marvelous event. It is an event that is filled with a magic and with imagination, design, wonderful activities that you'll be talking about for months after you participate. We have people who come in from all over the world because of the reputation that this Renaissance Fantasy Fair has gotten. I've had the opportunity to meet with people from England and from Canada and from, you know, other places, and they just say, this is so much fun. Why?
Hello.
Because you could be in costume, you could be doing all kinds of things. So don't forget the Washington State Renaissance Fantasy Fair, and that is the first 3 weekends in August. And I hope to see you there. My booth is on Main Street, and I will be able to visit with you and do many consultations, and I'll also have books and other information there. This is Donna Sebo. We do have a caller on the line. Before we go to that caller, I want to be sure and leave you our telephone numbers. So you too can call in today if you so desire. 877-876-5227 for the U.S., 888-815-9756 for Canadians. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Rosemary from Chicago, and we've spoken before.
Hi, Rosemary in
Hi.
Chicago. What's the weather like there? Hot, humid?
Blissful. Absolutely. 70 degrees with a lovely breeze, and the lake is sparkling. And it's just one of those perfect days. It's why you live in the Midwest.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I was expecting you to say it's at least 110 humidity at 97.8%.
<Mm-mm>.
Wow. Well, Chicago's beautiful.
Perfect.
Chicago is absolutely one of the prettiest places, I think, around. It's just a beautiful, beautiful city. Okay, Rosemary, the first thing that I am watching in my mind about you is a need for clarity. Now, when it comes to other people, I think you're very clear. I think when it comes to other people, you don't have a difficulty in being able to discern black from white, etc. But I think that you're feeling sort of mentally gummed up a little bit, and that's not unusual. I mean, my goodness, we're just human. But there is something going on here where your energy has not been up where it should be, and you feel as if you're just sort of dragging, and you go, there's something wrong with me. It's as if there is a pressure system around me that's just sort of oppressing me. And I would say, try to get out, go for a walk, do something that's going to allow you to make a shift. It could be something so simple even as just laying down and taking a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is going on here is a combination of things. It is a combination of something being released, being let go, also a feeling of unfinished business, as well as, gee, I should be striving and I should be doing more than what I'm doing. So you've got all of these unique pressures that are sort of mixed up like a tossed green salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that it's just one component. I think it's a combination of all of them that are giving you this feeling of, oh, I'm blocked. But you're not.
No, I'm
And it'll pass. It will pass. It's just this, again, it's a combination of stuff that I'm watching that's going on.
Okay,
so just know that you're going to be able to get past it actually quite easily. And I think it's very important for you at times when you're in a position to do so to just take time to meditate, to just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is going to help you tremendously. I really do. That is almost like some of the best medicine you can possibly take for yourself.
Mm.
What question did you have for me today?
I've been looking for a new office, and it's been, usually I'm divinely led to where I need to go, and I haven't, you know, seen the little yellow light taking me there.
Well, now, what kind of an office are you looking for? What's the size? What's the area you'd like to be in?
I've got that. Probably about the size that I have right now, maybe a little smaller, maybe about, 300 feet or something like that. And just a nice building, nice medical building, nice. You know, an old-fashioned counseling office.
Why have you opted to leave where you are?
I'm just kind of looking around for something a little closer, a little better.
Well, because I think where you are is very much of what you're looking for.
Yeah, it is.
That's the reason why I asked the question.
It's just a little farther than I want to drive on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's going to take you maybe 6 months before you're going to find what you want.
Okay.
So don't be in a hurry with this, and really sort of lay out a map, if you will, if you wanted a 15-minute drive, a half-hour drive, 45-minute drive, whatever's your preference. And just sort of make a circle on a map and say, this is what I'm looking for, and this I just need to wait until it becomes available. And I think you're going to find it in what I would describe as a small complex with other professionals.
Okay.
And when this space comes open, I think it's because somebody will have lost an individual that was part of their team, and this happened to be their office area. And so when it becomes available, you'll be made aware of it, and then you're going to be able to utilize it. So I don't even think what I'm looking at is available right now.
Probably isn't. I mean, usually in my life, in fact, the way I met my husband was a former client walked in my office and said, there's this gorgeous, beautiful man with a lovely aura, and you're coming to brunch.
Boy, is that good. I like that one.
And a year and a day later, after brunch, we were married.
My goodness.
He's, you know, just wonderful. And I was kind of thinking, well, am I blocking this right now? Usually because whenever I need something, somebody just comes in my life and says, here, you're asking.
I would just let people know that you're looking.
Okay.
I think you need to be discriminating about it, but say I'd like to be, you know, like 15 minutes from home or whatever your preference is.
Mm-hmm.
And just say if you happen to hear of something, do let me know. Just
I will
put it out that way.
Okay. May I offer a comment to that wonderful man that you were talking with on the acupressure point?
Oh, please do.
I wish I had had his small little book. I was on a transoceanic flight back from Europe, and I had developed a migraine, so I took out a very potent essential oil and used it. It'll get rid of a migraine in 5 seconds. But they thought they had a fuel leak, and they tore the plane apart.
Oh, my goodness.
And, I mean, they were just, I didn't know, and I finally walked up to the stewardess, and I said, what is the matter? We think it's a fuel leak. Are you sure it's just my perfume? So, I wish I'd had the book. I would have done that instead.
Mm-hmm. Then you wouldn't have to worry about making everybody think that something was wrong with the fuel line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It did smell pretty bad, though. And then,
boy, they'll never forget you, that's for sure.
No.
Oh, you're delightful, Rosemary. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you.
You have a delightful day.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and you can call in just like Rosemary did. And if you're a new listener, all I need is your first name or your initial, and I love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, I'll take care of telling you what I perceive, and you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also for Canada, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, I have a quote here from Christopher Childs, who was an activist. He said, the most radical, powerful act ever undertaken by any human being remains the act of committing oneself beyond reservation to a worthy personal mission. The act of committing oneself beyond reservation to a worthy personal mission. You know, that can be just for about anything. Just about anything. And there is a woman, Susan Booth, that, relative to that comment, she was a conductor on a Metro North rail line that went from New York to Connecticut, and one evening happened to be watching television, and this was in 1989. And during this television segment, there was some information given about Romanian children, Romanian orphans, in fact, and the crisis that they had because a lot of people were abandoning in Romania their children right and left. And Susan was appalled at what she saw with the children that had been tied to their cribs, covered with sores. And, of course, they were crying for help, and there weren't enough people there to take care of the children. And many of the children would bang their heads up against the cribs, and they were just utterly miserable. Well, Susan decided, after she saw that program, that she wanted to do something. She wanted to be able to get to Romania and to be able to, in some way, help those children. And she went into a lot of meditation. She was trying to figure out, what can I do? I'm only one person. Well, we're going to be taking a break, and when we come back, we're going to find out what Susan Booth did and the difference she made as one individual so frequently can. This is Donna Sebo, and just don't forget, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi there, this is Christoph Goes. I'm playing on Bivius Radio, where you can check tracks from my new album, Turning Inside. Because if it's not mainstream...
Hi, this is Donna, and I was going to finish the story about Susan Booth. And as I mentioned, she had watched a television program in 1989 and was very touched by the plight of children in Romania. Well, as it turned out, one day she met a passenger on the Metro North rail line who gave her some names and numbers in Bucharest. She decided she'd take a week's vacation, and she flew to Romania and went down the list of names that had been given to her, and eventually she met an Irish photojournalist named Stephen Doyle. Now, Stephen took her down an open manhole to the sewers. Can you imagine someone taking you down a manhole into sewers? And there she found some of the city's 4,000 forgotten orphans. Can you imagine what kind of an experience that was for her to see 4,000 children in a sewer? Well, she and Stephen founded a company called Archway, Inc., and it's an abbreviation for Abandoned Romanian Children's Way. They set up a mobile soup kitchen. And Susan's story ended up being published in a magazine in the year 2000. And what evolved from that one publication, the readers that saw her story donated more than $100,000 and awesome amounts of clothing. American people are just phenomenal. They just open up their hearts and their pocketbooks and put it out there. This organization she founded, Archway, was able to buy a 15-room house, which they ended up calling Casa Nostra, which means our house, for the children. And they also opened a clothing distribution center. And she's so grateful to all of the people who responded to the story of what she did. But you know what? She made a difference just because she cared and decided to take a trip to another country. And it changed her life forever, as well as touching the lives of thousands of children. One person can make a difference. One person's action creates a ripple that ends up touching the lives of so many. And that's what's important for you. If you're sort of at a crossroad in your life and you're wondering what you should be in or involved as a volunteer worker or full-time, explore. Don't be afraid to check things out, because what you may discover is the talents that you had used for another situation are going to be very much in place and very appropriate for whatever it is that you're going to find yourself involved with. And that's exactly what happened with Susan. Donna Sebo here, and I wanted to let you know about our lineup of guests that are going to be coming up next week. We're going to be talking with Jimmy Domessa. He's got a happy book called Be Happy, and then that's going to be on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're going to have an open mic day. I'll be sharing a lot of different information with you. And, of course, during an open mic day, you're able to call in and talk with me at any time during the hour. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about Caribbean pirates. George Beam is going to be my guest. George is just a wonderful researcher, and we're just going to have a good time talking about pirates. We always make them into such colorful characters. I think Errol Flynn was one of the first, what do I want to say, swashbucklers I can remember hearing about, and there's Burt Lancaster, and so there's these old movies that are just absolutely awesome to watch when there was that period when pirates were really, really the thing. And, of course, when the movie Pirates of the Caribbean came out, that just brought up another surge. But those guys were really rascal. Anyway, on Thursday of next week, we're going to be talking about, hey, ladies, Prince Charming isn't coming. That's right. Barbara Stanny is going to be my guest that day. And then on the 27th, we're going to be talking about remote viewing. Joe McMoneagle is going to be my guest. This is a man who's been involved in some of the top levels of mind research, so I think you're going to find him a very interesting guest. Then, on the following week, we're going to be talking with James L. Corin, Footprints in the Snow, Tales of Haunted Russia, and also Enriching Your Brain, Eric Jensen. So we've got so many interesting, fascinating people in this world, and right here on the Donna Sebo Show, BBSRadio.com, you're going to be able to hear them live and going to be able to hear their story firsthand. So we invite you to come along and to join us. Don't forget to join me at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. This event just is an awesome event for me because I've been involved with them for some years now, and it is so much fun. Of course, I get to put on costumes and be dressed queen for a day for 3 weekends in a row. And that's August 4th, 5th, 11th, 12th, 18th, and 19th. 3 weekends of wonderful family fun. There's face painting there for the kids, games for them to play, costume rentals if you really want to get into the feel of the moment. There's going to be Highland dancers, bagpipers, live chess competition, jesters. There's all kinds of storytelling. There's magicians, puppet shows, wonderful craftsmen doing all kinds of phenomenal activities, much like it was done centuries ago. So this gives you an opportunity to step back in time and be a part of something that's totally magical, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Go to their website. The hours of the fair are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It is fabulous. You will have a great time. You know what? Sometimes you can even bring your animals. You can bring your dogs with you. Just remember, if you're going to bring dogs or cats, it gets pretty hot out there, so what you want to do is have plenty of water, and remember, it might be better just to leave the animal at home. I'm very biased that way. Having two Scottish Terriers and having had them with me out there at the fair in years past, I get very, very cautious about it because I know how hot it can get, and 1 year got up to 120 degrees. But anyway, look for my booth that has these beautiful golden banners with huge red lions on them. That is going to be the identification for my booth. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, it looks like we're all out of time. I'm so glad we were able to share this hour together. Don't forget, shows are archived automatically after we do them. So if you've happened to miss one, you don't have to miss it. You can just tune in at a later time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. You have a fabulous day and a fabulous life. It's a good one. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Place, like it's out in outer space. What's out there are a little bit different. March to their own drums out there on the ocean. But if you ain't here, you just don't get it. Might think we're all freaks and weirdos just living in the cosmos. Planet California. Cruising up a coastline, fast cars, movie stars, be who you really are. Techno, ego, wannabe, don't know, hip-hop, teen-pop, metalhead, punk rock, fine wine, peace sign, living on a fault line, born over day old, free love, homegrown, hippies, yuppies, playboy bunnies, redheads, brunettes, cruising down sunset, my city.